We're up to Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Agmon Shalom Aleichem.
Chof Aleph what?
Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Chof Tes. Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Chof Tes. Okay, L'chem Koyim Hashem L'chem Yan Haskarchem Avoinchem. Because you have caused your sins to be remembered. Okay, we can probably also around a little table. We don't need so many. Yeah. Because you have caused your sins to be remembered, doing multiple sins. We'll see what this means in a moment in the Mitzudos. The basic idea is when a person does multiple sins, continuously do sins, that causes Hashem to remember his earlier sins. If a person just does one sin, so Hashem is willing to forgive and forget. Do another sin, Hashem is going to forgive and forget. Another sin, forgive and forget. But once a person does it on a regular basis, you do new sins and you anger Hashem, so then Hashem brings out the record books, the Sefer HaZichronos, and looks back at the old sins. So by continuously doing new sins, you are causing Hashem to remember your old sins. Okay,
Isn't Avonchem singular sin?
Avonchem.
Plural sin.
Avonchem is your sin. Maybe it's the collective noun. Maybe it's one particular sin. Okay, maybe. Or maybe it's like the collective noun, referring to multiple, all the various sins. That's pretty much what all the Mefarshim, they say the same idea. Like, we all know that. When we get into a fight with someone, so you have someone that you're not friendly with, and you have some, so you overlook all of their avlus. But it comes a point in time, nismale hasa, when you blow up, and then you go and you mention to them all of the avlus they did to you the last 20, 30, 40 years. that's human nature. So that's the same thing by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When is it going to happen that your old sins are going to be remembered?
What I said.
One sin.
Right, so I'm assuming here the one sin is the collective noun. It's a collective noun, which means all of your sins, but we're just grouping them under one banner under the term sin. So here when it says bigalois pish eichem, so when is it going to happen that all of your old sins are going to be remembered? It's going to happen when you reveal bigalois pish eichem, when you reveal new sins, leheiroos chatoi seichem, and you make it seen, you make it appear. Another poetic term for sin, again, avoin pesha v'chei, we discussed it yesterday, two different types of sins, b'nezid, b'shegeg, b'merida, but basically on the simple shudu shalmik over here is that b'higolos p'sheichem l'heiros chatoseichem, when you do new sins, these two terms are referring to new sins, when you make these new sins revealed that cause Hashem to remember the old sins, b'chol alilo seichem, due to all of your deeds. Okay, the sins over here, these words, Pishechem and Chatoseichem, refer to, are done through your actions. Your actions bring forth your sins. They reveal your Pesha and your Chet. Yan, and then the Pasuk reviews what it started with in the beginning, like we're sandwiching the theme from the beginning and the end. Yan, because he Zochercham, because you have caused your sins to be remembered by doing new sins. That's why, Bakav Tito Pei Su, you will be seized by the hand, the palm of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar will come and conquer you and take hold of you. Okay, it's a hard pasuk. Let's see the Mefarshim. Pasuk of Tes in the Mitzvah David. Pasuk of Tes says, Yamikus has karchem. Avoinchem. Bavur. Shatem maskirim avoinoy seichem harishonois. Because you caused me to remember your earlier sins. Now, how do you cause your earlier sins to be remembered? The pasuk explains, "Bima shatem migalim pish eichem hachadoshos," because you are committing new sins, la'asaisam bifirsum, and that's why it says "bihi golois." You're doing it in public, leheiraos leman yiyu nirim chatoseichem asher meoz. In order to cause it to be seen, your sins, Asher may also. So according to the Mitzudos, he seems to be saying is that The lehera oscha toisechem means your old sins. It's like an explanation. The reason why I'm remembering your new sin, your sins, is because you're doing new sins, and that's why it is revealed before me the old sins. Asher me'oz, that were done in the past, besibas, because of kol alilo sechem hachadosh, is repetition. Okay, so like it's really, I mean, so I'm really refining it again. The words leheiraos chato sechem b'chol alilo sechem parallel the beginning of the pasuk. Haskarchem avoinchem bihigolos pishaychem. The first expression are the old, and the second expression is the new. And this theme is being repeated twice. We start off, now it's going to be remembered, haskarchem avoinchem, the old. Why? Because bihigolos pishaychem, period. And then the pasuk repeats it, exactly the same theme all over again. Leheiraos chato seichem, your old sins are going to be revealed because b'chol alilo seichem, because of all of your actions, because of all of your deeds that are evil, that are being done right now. So this is the way the mitzvah stavel of Shah on the pasuk. It's old, new, there is poetic repetition. Asher me'az, u'chofol hadavar b'miloy shoynois, we repeat the theme twice. Next, now the pasuk concludes according to the Mitzudos, Yan hi zorchem. Now we're reviewing the entire theme of the pasuk. Bavur shatem maskirim avoynoi sechem, because you're doing new sins and that's causing me to remember your old sins. Therefore, you're going to suffer the consequences. Lochem, therefore, titofsu, you're going to be taken hold of, you're going to be seized. Bekaf melech bavel, melech bavel is going to succeed in conquering you and doing to you what he wants. Okay, let's see now Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Chavtes says, Yan hazkarchem avoinchem, she'atem chatshin averos miyoyim el yoyim. M'meila ve'avoinos seichem harishonim niskorim al yideyem. Same exact thing that we just explained, that because you do new sins, you anger Hashem, that provokes Hashem, that causes Hashem to remember your old sins. V'golos pishaychem hachadoshos. Now notice, v'golos hachadoshos, that to the new sins. L'heiraos chato seichem, these are the old sins. You know, he's saying pretty much, it would seem that Rashi is saying exactly the same thing as the Mitzudo started, is that there's a parallel. The first thing is the old, the second is the new, old, new, and we repeat this theme twice. Four expressions, each two go together, and we repeat this series twice. And then the pasuk summarizes.
Revealed to
whom? To Hashem. It's revealed to Hashem the new sins. When a person does a new Avera, it angers Hashem. It gets Hashem thinking, this is nothing really new. He's doing this now. He's been doing this since time immemorial. So that's what Rashi and Mitzvah is saying. Revealed to Hashem here is a borrowed term to mean it's new. When you reveal something, it means you're doing a new action. You're doing something present, in the present. And when this happens in the present, it reminds Hashem of the past. Bekaf tita feisu biyad malko the bubble tis masrun the targum, you're going to be conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. Let's see the Radak Pasuk Chavtes writes Yan Lochein if a koyama Hashem Yan hiskarchem avoinchem k'moyish amar maskir avon. That's the back of the previous pasuk. Okay, maskir avon. The previous pasuk chavches was the previous pasuk is maskir avon. It's continuing that theme. And we learned yesterday that when it says maskir avon, there are two interpretations. Either it means that Klal Yisrael, they are being maskir their own sins by doing averos, by not listening to the Nevi'im, or maskir avon means Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, when he cast lots, when he engaged in kishuf to decide if he will march to Yerushalayim to conquer, part of the kishuf was he would say to Hashem, Hashem, don't forget they did this avera, they did that avera. He was trying to bribe Hashem by reminding Hashem of the sins of Klal Yisrael in order to influence the kishuf that it should come out that he will succeed in conquering Eretz Yisrael. So here we had the previous pasuk maskir avoin. So that's why the Radak says that in this pasuk we're also continuing along with that theme of maskir avoin. Next, hazkarchem, okay, mokar, the infinitive verb mibinyan hifil, to cause. You're causing Hashem You are causing Hashem to remember your sins through your actions. Uva b'patach, there is a patach beneath the hay, kimo v'oven usrafim haftzar. Haftzar means to increase. The same way the word there is a patach haftzar here too as well. It's haskarchem. You're causing to increase. Omar, ba'avur shatem maskidim lefonai avonchem. Now here the Radak is learning not like Rashi and the Mitsudos, where we're referring to doing new averos, but we are referring to the violation of the shvua of Tzidkiyahu. She'atem maskim lefonai avonchem, hu inyin shvua sheker, the shvua sheker, uvemosh atem maskidim oso. How do you reveal it? How do you cause me to remember it? Bigolois pish echem leheiroos chatosechem, bechol alilosechem. Now, what does that mean? Ki bechol maasechem yesh pishoim vechatoos nirim vineglim lakol, kol shekein li, uvezeato maskirim heavonos hayeshonim im hachadoshim vehachamurim im hakalim. Similar idea that. But what the Radak does, different than Rashi and the Mitsudos, is that he only has two groups. There is the old and the new. The old is Haskarchem Avoinchem. That is the old. And what is the old referring to? The violation of the Shvuah of Tzidkiyahu to Nebuchadnezzar. And that is being reminded, Hashem is reminded that Chil Hashem through the new sins. And the Radak learns there are three categories of new. Bigolois pishechem, leheraos chatoisechem, l'chol alilosechem. The three new remind you of the old. This is not like the Mitzvah Rashi, which says it's old, new, it's old, new. Okay, next, Yan because you are remembered for me as sinners. It's like ha kaf. First of all, kaf you do the known kaf. Who kaf melech bavel came to give Yonasan miyad malka the bavel to smashim. You're going to be living in the hands of melech bavel. Okay, so this is the idea. An interesting idea is that mismale hasa. That a person can get away with doing an averus. To remember this concept, a person sometimes is a terrible aver, but he do tshuva, Hashem forgets the aver. It's covered. Kapara means it's covered. Does not necessarily mean that it disappears. It dissipates. It's temporarily concealed. But if a person continues to do new averos, that can have the effect of causing Hashem to be reminded of the old averos. And then, Rachmana Litzlan, there can be a very severe punishment that would ordinarily not come to the person because the old averus were covered. Now, the new sins, it uncovers the old sins. Let's go now to Pasuk.
What purpose does tshuva do?
Tshuva prevents you from doing new sins. The very least.
For the person, you committed a virus, now you
So there are many, we all know that there are many madregos of tshuva. A person does tshuva miyira, his averos are kishkogos. If he does tshuva me'ava, the avera becomes zechuyos. Doing tshuva at least prevents you from doing new averos, at least not to continue down this damaged path. And over time, a person has the ability to, I guess, to clean the slate. Like even in New York State, if you get a speeding ticket, after 3 years, it's off your record. Right? I think it takes us. Is that the rule?
Back.
What?
Come back away.
No, so but the first, so saying you have to assume that when a person comes to a point in time in his life where he does so much tshuva, then I guess you could assume that the chait never comes back. It's you reach a madrega where you're beyond that. It's not when a person, if he's tested in the same mokim, the same isha, the same place, and he's able to overcome himself, that shows that you've completely conquered this degree, this type of sin.
But what about new sins?
So new sins, you got to work on the new sins. It's a constant struggle. It's like maintaining a good body weight. It's a constant battle to the very end. There's no relief. Yeah.
I was thinking, if you don't work by doing shofa, where you're standing, you'll get even worse. So this way, if you do stupid, it's not complete, at least it will hold you back.
There's no such thing as a parva yid. You're either going one way or another. Exactly. You're always going in one direction. If you're not going to work on yourself going forward, you can automatically slide backwards. Right? These are dvarim should everyone understand. These are dvarim shutim. Doing tshuva. There are many levels. And there are many dimensions of doing tshuva. There's no end to how deep. We all know. I mean, look, we say after Yom Kippurim, the first thing we say is v'hu rachum yichaper avon. Very first thing we do. That doesn't make any sense. You just finished a whole day doing tshuva, fasting, and the very first thing you do is v'hu rachum. Okay, the very first thing is v'hu rachum yichaper avon. The answer is just because you finish Yom Kippurim, don't fool yourself and thinking that you have a clean slate. There is still a stain. There is still some slight stain that has to be clean, and that can take an entire lifetime. What?
You're thinking of what you're going to do tomorrow.
Even if you're not thinking of what you can do tomorrow, let's say you're not thinking, but still, even though you finish the whole Yom Kippurim, the stain is still there. When you get something back from the dry cleaners, it's still not like new. It's not new. It's not the same as new. That's life. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk. Where we are? The pasuk lamed. Pasuk lamed over here. The Navi addresses Tzidkiyahu. He says some very, very frightening words to Nebuchadnezzar. Aviata, you says addresses Tzidkiyahu. Well, some say he addresses Yehoyakim. Different interpretation. Some of the commentators of Rabbi Eliezer Mibal Gansi. Do you have that in your edition? The perish from Rabbi Eliezer Mibal Gansi is a very interesting perish. Okay, but he, I think he learns.
You
know, how do you pronounce it? No, not Boshan. I don't have that. I have Mi Bal Gan Tzi. No? I'm not pronouncing it.
There's a famous parish.
Yeah.
Eliezer Mi Boshan
Tzi. Oh, that's him. I guess in Hebrew and in English, they pronounce it. Isaiah is not the same pronunciation as Yeshaya. Ezekiel is not the same as Yechezkel. Ezekiel. Okay. Viata. Cholol Rosh Hashem over here is addressing, Yechezkel is addressing Tzidkiyahu, and he calls him by name. So you really want to talk about calling someone by a bad name? You're a Cholol Rosh, you're a dead Rosh. It's not just bad enough to be a Rosh. He outdid Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, said, Rosh, Lama Sakereyach. By the Seder, the Rosh, Af Ata Hake Yashinav, he's called a Rosh. Here we're calling him not just a Rosh, a Cholol Rosh. He's dead. A dead body. Nisi Yisrael, you are the king of the Jewish people. That's pretty shocking. You call him, on the one hand, I acknowledge you the king, but you're a wicked man and you're a dead man. That's Mamish Amiri B'malchus. Asher Bo Yomo, your day has come. Be'es Avoin Kates, at the time when your sin is complete. Now, there are two ways to translate the last two words. Either you can translate it forwards or backwards. If you translate it forwards, it means Avoin Kates, it means the last sin. The last Avon Kates means the last sin, the sin which fills up the measure. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is patient. He's patient with us, and he does not punish us. But when you reach a tipping point, the straw that breaks the back of the camel, that's Nismale Hasa, and that's when it's all over. So therefore, at the time of Avon Kates, Hashem was patient with Klal Yisrael for 850 years. Yud Tzidkiyahu reached the point where the Avon Kates, it's the last sin. You've reached, you've crossed the red line, and now it's over. Or you can learn that the other, you read it backwards. Kates, at the time of your end, is when you will be punished for your sins. Okay, we'll see, the Radak says that. We'll see more precisely in a moment. Let's read inside the Mitzvot Stavu Pasuk Lamit. Lamed says, "V'ata chol rasha, ata rasha, you rasha, Tzidkiyahu hamechulal min hakedusha." So I told you another interpretation. I told you the word chol means a dead body. That's really the Gemara. The Gemara says that. The Mitzudo says it means chilul, profane. You are void of any sanctity. You are a rasha hamechulal min hakedusha. You're lacking sanctity. V'al Tzidkiyahu yomar ba yomai shaka shimshay v'hatzlachaso. Your day, your sun has set. The ace asoso heavoin, at the time when you have committed the last sin, Hashem gives you a number of sins, he's patient. Heavoin hamashlim es hakeitz, umimale es hasa'ah. Okay, Hashem lets a person still gives you a number. Like they say, a person has a certain number of words. You have a certain number of words, when you reach that last word, that's it, no more. First, Hashem tolerates a certain number of sins. When you reach that sin, every sin is judged on a scale, different weights, like an arcade game life. how many points and coins and all the different things. So b'divreichem, don't talk too much. So Mamalias Aso, so he learns over here the Avoin Kates, the word Kates is modifying the word Avoin. That's the last sin. Hashem gives you an allowance. You can do 100 sins. Tzidkiyahu, you have the time when you your sun has set, your malchus will come to an end on the day when you commit sin number 100. Now, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, right, everyone, yeah. Let's see Rashi. Rashi's pasuk lam it says chol rasha chayiv lios cholul birish achon. Not like the mitzvah. Cholul does not mean profaned. It means dead. You deserve death. Baratzcha chol means dead. It will mean chil, different interpretation. So you're going to be. You deserve to die due to your wickedness.
Maybe condemned.
No, he doesn't say that. He says. Oh, he says. Okay, you're right. Cholul means chayiv. Okay, you're making a good point. It doesn't actually say chayiv lios cholul. Well, cholol simply means a dead body. What does it say? It means condemned? I don't know. He seems to say the word cholol.
Right.
It could be. I don't know. Nisi Yisrael. Exactly. You normally see in Chumash the word cholol normally means a dead body. Dead body. Corpse. Nisi Yisrael. Which? Who are we referring to? Are we referring to Yehoyakim? Are we referring to Tzidkiyah? Are we referring to Yehoyakim? Who are we referring to over here? So Rashi learns we're referring to Tzidkiyah. We're referring to Tzidkiyah. If you look at the Wolf of Farshim, which we're not going to go through, of course, everyone wants a piece of the pie. Everyone says, no, referring to Yehoyakim, referring to Tzidkiyahu, referring to Gedalia, referring to Yochanan, the one that killed Gedalia. Everyone has an interpretation. Who exactly are we addressing? The Pasha is we're dealing with Tzidkiyahu. When you've done your very last sin, your time has come. Ve'es nismale hasa'ah, ve'yegia avoin ho'acharon. Rashi could not be clearer. Don't read the words backwards. It means the igia avoin ha'achron, the last sin. You have an allowance. You've reached the allowance. Finished. Hamamale yasasa. Radak.
It's like just a historical record. He's not talking Tzidkiyahu.
He is. Oh, so some say, no, because the next pasuk is an historical record. V'atayu. He seems like he's addressing him. It would seem that he is addressing Tzidkiyahu. He's telling him, you're a Rasha. You're a chol rasha, you see Israel.
How is he addressing him through
Yecheskel? Yecheskel speaking to him. I mean, the Bavel.
Yeah.
He's sending him a message. I don't know.
The Mitzvah
Stavit
says
Tzidkiyahu. Right. Everyone says, Rashi is Beferish, and Mitzvah also. He's addressing him. The Atah.
He's in a different place.
He's in Bavel, right? He's not in Yecheskel is always in Bavel. So how, maybe he sent a message? He sent a messenger to him? I don't know the answer. I do not know. But he's calling him a chol rasha because, now, by the way, what was the sin? We can't forget the primary sin of Tzidkiyahu was he did not surrender. That's a very important point that a lot of people don't realize. People, they look at the fall of Yerushalayim, the Bayis Rishon, as a very romantic experience. Everyone was fighting to defend Yerushalayim. They were fighting and fighting, and they all gave up their lives. It's like some type of the Revolutionary War, some type of who knows what it was. You can make a motion picture out of this thing. No, that's not the way it was. It was an act of defiance. Yirmiyah and Yechezkel numerous times told Tzidkiyahu, it is Hashem's will that you should surrender. Take out the white flag, and surrender, and if you will surrender, he's not going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Or maybe even if he will destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he's not going to exile the people. So you won't have a temple, but you'll be able to live in Yerushalayim. And we learned the nafka mina was there wouldn't be assimilation. There wouldn't be living in Yerushalayim today. People who lived in the area, all the Chilonim who live in the area of Yisrael today have one incredible maila. They're not intermarrying. At least most of them. Those who go to America... What?
90% Bris.
People, the irreligious Jews in America, 70% of them are intermarrying. Which means if they're married, that means that the children are not Jewish. They're gone. Those who are 100% irreligious, even anti-religious in Eretz Yisrael, at least have the milo that the chance of them marrying a guy are very slight, very, very rare, very small, because who are they going to marry? They're only going to marry one of their own. They're only going to marry from their society. So maybe there's hope for the next generation. So this would have been a very great advantage to Klal Yisrael if they would not have gone into exile and be subject to the temptation of assimilation. And they didn't do that. Why? So why were they punished? Because they defied the Navi and they did not want to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, and they wanted to fight. They wanted to fight to the very end. So therefore, that's considered to be your whole Russia by not listening to the advice of the prophets. Now, Radak says, Pasuk Lamed, V'yata chol Rasha, cholol kitagumoy chayev kitolos. So the Targum could not be more explicit. It means death. V'yesh l'farsho kimashmo kimo isha zayna v'chalala. It means a woman. V'chalala means a woman who is chalala, means she is a profaned, a woman who is void of any sanctity. She is willing to engage in illicit relations. Nisi Yisrael hu tzidkiyo. So we have over here three chut hamashulish. Everyone here so far learns tzidkiyo. Asha ba yomo he gives man al hasibim and hamalucha. This day has come. The malchus come to an end. The ace of avoin kates. Now look what he writes over here. The ace sh avoinoi goram loy hakates. Not that his last sin. It's when his sin has caused
his downfall,
his end. In other words, really, you should translate the words backwards. Okay, boy yoimoy, really the ace kates. Basically the poetic repetition. Make believe you would ignore the word avoin. Boy yoimoy, his day has come, his malchus has come, the ace kates at the time of his end, his downfall. Why? Now ask a question. Why? Why does he deserve to die? Why does he deserve to lose the malchus? It's because of his sins. But the word kates is not modifying the word avoin. Rashi and the Mitzvahs tell you the word kates is a modifier. His last sin, the allowance has come to an end. Radak says no, it means be'ace kates. It's repeating bo'yomo, be'ace kates. Why? Because of his sins. Sha'avoynoi garam lo'yakei, shus kitzoi v'soifoi b'melucho, his end of the malchus has come. U'ma'asham avoyn kates, shes... What? There is a big distinction. The distinction is the word kates modifying the word avoin, or is the word kates teaching you a new yesoid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person.
It's not cause and effect?
It is cause and effect. Obviously, it is cause and effect, but it's just a matter of, is the word kates a stand-alone word, or is the word kates modifying the word avoin? And if you want to say that it's coming to stand alone, then you have to translate the pasuk out of the words of the pasuk out of order, as he says. He makes a whole issue out of this over here. The Radak, he really. Look what he writes over here. Umashama avoin kates shesomach avoin el kates. This is what it says, that the avoin, these two words together. We put the word avoin next to kates. So to loymar he avoin the sin shabavuroi, that because of that sin bo kitzoi, his end. Not the last sin. It means this sin that he did, which is the last sin. Okay, that's self-understood though. It's not needed to be written in the pasuk. Brought about his kates. For who avoin? What was the sin that we are referring to? Shua sheker the chil Hashem shehishbiyoi nevuchanetzar belokim, that he would not rebel. For who marad boy? Uvozoh he despised Allah lo'afer bris. Therefore, Allah loved Nebuchadnezzar. The either Eina, that's why Nebuchadnezzar, he blinded him. The Glohu and exiled him. The Hachriv Aretz. Period. With Targum Yonasan, he says the same exact Targum Yonasan learns exactly like the Radak, that the word Kates means the end of Tzidkiyahu. The Mato Yoima Tavrei, his day of breaking. That's the Yom. Ida the time Tushlamas Choyvayhi, when his it's going to be complete, his punishment. Perishoy kemoy hafuch. Okay, the hafuch over here goes back to what I said before. Hafuch, he learns like the Radak, is you have to translate the words backwards, because the word kates is not modifying the word avoin. It's rather the word kates means yoim tivarei. Yoim Tivarei, I think he words Kates means the day of his destruction, his end, his breaking. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Now, before we go further, there's an important halacha from this pasuk that we derive, and that is a very scary halacha. The Gemara Masechet Brachos Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya Mefarish Pasuk, Avehamesim Einam Yodim Me'uma, the dead know from nothing, Elu Rishoim Shegam Bechayehen Kluyim Mesim. The wicked are called dead in their while they're alive. They're the living dead. Shenemar v'ata cholol rasha nisi Yisrael. We learn from this pasuk that a rasha in his lifetime, he may have a pulse. His blood pressure may be 120/80. His cholesterol may be perfect. All the numbers are unbelievable. But yet, he's a dead man. He's DOA. He walks in the room, you're dealing with a corpse. Why? Because the nature, the spiritual reality is what defines a person if he's called alive or dead. And this very important yesod is derived from this very pasuk, cholol rasha. A rasha, even when he's physically alive, is called a cholol, it's called a dead body. Now we come to an amazing pasuk, it's a very famous pasuk, there's a lot of Torah on this pasuk, Lamed Aleph, Koyam HaShem, so is Koyam HaShem Elokim, Hasir HaMetz Nefes. Take off the hat. V'hodim ho'atada, take off your crown. Two things in this pasuk. And mitznefes, the word mitznefes is commonly used in the Torah in regard to who? The Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Hedya wears the Migbaos. And the Kohen Gadol wears the mitznefes. Two different types of hats. Had to be modified because it had to accommodate the Nezer HaKodesh, the Nezer HaKodesh that sits. Therefore, the hat of the Kohen Gadol was a different type of hat. And also has to have enough space for the tefillin to fit. You have to accommodate this different type of hat. V'hodim ho'atada, remove your crown. Zos, lo zos. This, not this. That has like 20 interpretations, what that means. Hash shafalo hagdei. What is low, elevate. Or it could mean in the past tense, what was low has been elevated. V'hagavoa. And what is high, hashpil, has been lowered. I go to Beis Medrash Gavoa. Is it Beis Medrash Gavoa or Gavoa? It's not, you know, on the stationery, it's not spelled right. They acknowledge that. It's on the English stationery, Lakewood is BMG, right? Lakewood is BMG. Yeah. So here's the word, Gavoa.
Right.
When you have a patach at the end of the hay and a dot, it's Aleph followed by a hay. Gavoa. So on the stationery, you should say Beth Medrash Gavoa. That's not what it says there. You go type into the computer, Beis Medrash Gavoa. So it's not grammatically, it's a major mistake, and for some reason they don't want to correct it. V'hagavoa hashpil. What? Achilekas. V'hagavoa hashpil, lower that which is high has below. Now what does this pasuk mean? Let's see over here, one thing at a time, pasuk lamed aleph, the midst of the stuff it says. Who are we referring to? Lamed Aleph, Hasir Mitznefes, Atot Tzidkiyo. First of all, we have to know who the subject of this pasuk is, and that is Tzidkiyo. Hasir HaMitznefes, take off your hat. V'harei Meshata, take off your crown. Me'al Roshcha. Ki lo yisim loich oid v'lo yisim shol b'Yisrael. So basically, he doesn't really explain. He basically seems to say over here, is if you look over here in the Mitzvah Siyoin, HaMitznefes, Koiva HaMayuchedes L'chashuvim U'moishlem. So obviously, just think over here, he's saying it's a borrowed term, even though we associate word mitznefes with the Kohen Gadol. But since here the subject of this pasuk is Tzidkiyahu, who is not a Kohen, he's not fit to be a Kohen, he is a Kohen, he is a Yisrael. So therefore, it cannot be the mitznefes, so it has to be just a hat. And just a borrowed term that the king wore a very nice hat. And he also wore a very nice crown.
Actually, they translated it as a turban.
A turban, okay. A turban and a crown. The Queen of England. The Queen of England this year, for the first time, by one of the events, is not going to be wearing her crown. Right? I read it on the news. It's too heavy. She's not going to be wearing her crown.
She's 91.
So she's not going to leave the crown in the vault for the very first time. Hasir hametz v'hadim ho'atara. Take off your hat. Take off your crown. He wore. So this means basically, we right away start with a little drush, is that the king wears two hats. The Melech Yisrael wears two hats. A hat represents your stature. The Gemara says that a Talmidei Chacham, they wear a sadin. There was a special hat that shows. So that itself is a very interesting idea. We're really going into the way of drush, is that a Kohen Gadol has a Melech also has a moral responsibility, a spiritual responsibility towards Klal Yisrael. We typically try to assume that that the power in Klal Yisrael is divided between two parts, the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. It's not totally true. There are three branches of government, and in the Klal Yisrael there's the Sanhedrin. In the Lishkas HaGozis, there is the Sanhedrin, the judicial branch, the executive branch, which is the Melech, and what would you call the Kohen, the spiritual branch. Okay, in Havdil, in America, there is judicial, there is executive, and
the clerical legislative
branch. So that is, do we have something like that in parallel to that? No, I don't think so. You have the spiritual, the Kohen Gadol. You have the legislative branch, and then you have the executive division branch, the Melech. Three different, and you see each one has a role mamish in the Beis Hamikdash. The Lishkas Hagozis is in mamish the Beis Hamikdash. Half of the room is situated in Kodesh. Half is in Kodesh. Half is in Chol. The Melech ein yeshiva boazara ela lemalchei Beis David Bilvat. He gets to sit. There's a special throne in the Azara. The only one who gets to sit down in the Azara is the Melech. And the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefnim. So you see that in the center of Klal Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, you mamash see the Moishav, you see the uniqueness of each one of the three branches of Klal Yisrael. Even though that's true, the Melech normally we think just builds bridges, and the Melech deals with taxes and makes sure there's clean water and everyone has a job.
But the king also, to an extent, the king legislates.
Yes.
And to an extent, the Sanhedrin legislates.
Checks and balances.
As well.
So there are checks and balances.
And can initiate
war.
Can initiate laws also. I mean, okay. It's kind of a shared function.
Okay. So that exactly is the question. What exactly are their defined roles? When is one branch stepping upon the other? Look. Let's say in the secular country, Lahavdil, in America. You always find there's a little bit of mix between overlap, where each branch tries to flex their muscles. Who made Bush W president? Supreme Court, right? So was that a decision based on law, or was that a hashkafa? Are you Republican or you Democrat? Well, you're not going to say there was a little negius. Okay, you don't find the president trying to push laws and to twist the arms of Congress to bribe them and who knows what to pass laws,
and the other way around too.
Other way around too, exactly. So therefore, obviously, there is some gray area which overlaps Lahavla, which you can relate to in our government, in American government. But in Klal Yisrael, this is something very, very, very interesting. Where exactly are the boundaries between the different branches of government? Over here, we have a new idea. We have a very interesting idea. What does the Farshan say? This is, look at some of the Farshan, is that the king, we tend to think the king just mind your own business, the king. Just deal with the bridges, the tolls, the roads, the potholes, food, water, v'chulu, just be a good mayor. Pay for security for the people, make sure everything is okay.
King pothole?
But that's not necessarily true. The king also has a religious, the king has a religious function. Okay, the king has a religious function. Now you'll say that's not fair. The religious function of Klal Yisrael is the Kohen Gadol, Lefnai v'Lefnim, the Kohanim, the Atem Tiyu Mamlechas Kohanim. Obviously, I don't know what the answer is. There is some
the
balance.
King was also the head of the Sanhedrin.
The king was the head of the Sanhedrin.
No, really,
was he all? No.
He was David Amel.
Mishpat. David was qualified. David, so is the role of the king to do mishpat? That's talk about the role of the king to do mishpat, justice.
Yeah.
Justice. Okay, enochanami. But you do learn from this pasuk, the darshanim say the fact that the pasuk describes Tzidkiyahu, the king, as wearing two hats, the crown, obviously is the crown that is represents the physical, the material parts of Klal Yisrael. And also the mitznefes, which is a term that is reserved for the Kohanim, shows that there is a spiritual dimension to the king's role in Klal Yisrael. He also has a moral role. You can't just say the king is just pure business. It's just dollars and cents. There is religion in the office of the king as well. That's why it says take off your mitznefes, the hat you wear as, serving as, a religious leader for Klal Yisrael, and take off the hat that you wear, serving as the one who is responsible that everyone has what to eat and a place, a roof over their heads. Harma Atara. Now, the reason why I say that is because other Mepharshim we're going to see don't say that. And they say break the two apart. The Mitznefesh refers to that the kahuna is coming to an end. The kahuna is coming to an end, and the Atara is coming to an end. You make a complete separation between religion and authority. So you see this hashkafa, exactly what is the role of the melech, you see a machlokes rishonim or achronim exactly here in how to fataych the pasuk, is do, are we giving tzidkiyahu the mitznefes as in addition to giving him the atara? The Mitzudas David says we do, we give him both. Take off your mitznefes, take off your atara, even though he says very simply in the Mitzudas scene that it means just a nice hat, but obviously there's more to it. Now let's go further. Zos lo zos, Ritzon Eloimar, Horo'oh ha-zos, they're saying this is mamish real pshat. What's zos? This evil, asher bo li-oyokim li-oyokim, this that has happened, zos, the tragedies that have come upon your predecessors, Yehoyakim and Yehoyakim, they've both been exiled, and both Yehoyakim was died on the road, and Yehoyakim was now in Babel. Lo hayokizos, they got away with it good. They had a good life relative to what's coming to you because their elites had children. Yehoyakim was replaced by his son Yehoyakim. So that was a nechama to him. And Yehoyakim, his children, Zerubbabel, will be the ones that will become the Melech and the Bayesheni. He will have the descendants. But you, Tzidkiyahu, you're finished. When you die, that's the end. The end is not, you're not going to leave over anyone else. Lo hayakazos harahabolecha, kikashagola Yehoyakim, molach no Yehoyakim. When Yehoyakim went into Golis, at least the son was Yehoshagola Yehoyakim. When Yehoyakim went into Golis, molach Tzidkiyahu, achiyaviv. So then his uncle took over, mimishpachtoi. So he learns also that at least in his mishpacha, aval achar, in a different dimension. I told you that at least Yehoyakim had children. He left over children in this world, which succeeded him. His grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they became the kings of the next generation. David HaMelech, the Melech HaMashiach, is going to come from a descendant of Yehoyakim. Aval achar shagolat tzidkiyahu. When you come to an end, it's curtains. Loi nishar mi melech u'mashal mi mishpachto. There's going to be no one to take your place. So this is the parish of the Mitzvah David. The subject over here is yo, take off your mitznefes, take off your atara, zos, the good things that happened to your predecessors, is lo zos, is not going to happen to you. It's a really poetic type of translation of these words, lo zos, you're not going to be zoicha to have descendants take your place. Next words, hash folo hagvei, what does that mean? The Mitzvah David, hashfalo, yehoyachin shekvar golo v'hushpal oisei hagvei. Yehoyakim, who's low. Why is Yehoyakim, relatively speaking, low? Because he has gone into exile. 11 years before the Churban with Chosh Namaskar, he's in exile. He will be elevated. Why? Ki mizaroi yetzei Zerubbabel Melech HaMashiach. From his descendants will come the new king for the Bayis Sheni and the Melech HaMashiach. Ve'hagavoah. But that which is high, you, who right now you sit in power in Yerushalayim for the last 11 years, also Ashpil, you will go into exile, and will lower you down, you're going to go into exile, no one's going to take your place. Okay, so this is the parish of the Pasuk, we're going to review, Tzidkiyahu is the subject, take off your mitznefes, take off your religious hat, take off your hat of authority, zos, lo zos, the good things that happened to your predecessors are not going to happen to you, hashvolo, hagvea, the one that's now in a low state, Yehoyakim, will be elevated. He, from him will come Moshiach. V'agavoy, you that are arrogant, you that are proud and tall, living in Yerushalayim in a state of security, your end is coming. Hashpil, you're going to be lowered, you're going to lose. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Pasik, Lamadav, Pasikar, Mitznefes. Kitar Gumoy, Ade, remove. Mitznefes, Misiroyo, Kahano, Rabo. The Siroyo, the Koyengel, who was the last Koyengadol? It was not Saroya, that's the problem. Rashi's a Pella, because the last Kohen Gadol was not Saroya. It was, I forgot, who's the one who challenges this? The Radak? There was another Kohen Gadol. Okay, we'll come to it soon. Okay, but let's just for the moment now. Saroya Kahana Rabba, take off the hat of the Kohen Gadol. The Abatel Kisra Mitzitka, take off the hat, that tar, the crown of the king, Malka. Emar say Dain Vidain be Asra lo Yiskayam, both of these things will no longer, they will cease to exist. Authority, religious authority, and the authority of the king will cease to exist in Yerushalayim. Next words of Rashi, Zos doesn't explain Zos lo Zos, very mysterious. He doesn't want to tell us what those words mean because it's so complicated. Maybe Rashi didn't want to get into the controversy. So we'll learn like now the Mitzudos. The good things that happened to your predecessors are not gonna happen to you. Hashfolo Hagbei. Gedalia, he learns here, means Gedalia, Barachikam, Dolo Havastile. Who ever heard of Gedalia? Gedalia was nondescript. He was, no one ever heard of him before. All of a sudden, he rose to power. when Nebuchadnezzar killed Sidkiyahu, he selected this unknown man, Gedaliah ben Achikam, to become the governor of Yerushalayim in the meantime. Gedaliah, who was Hashfalah, an unknown person, Gedaliah ben Achikam, the law has delay, it doesn't belong to the Malchus, this Bina, he will be put in position. He will be given the Malchus with Sidkiyah, the delay, which deserves the Malchus, today Minei will be taken away from him. Okay, new interpretation. Who is the Hashfalah, the Hagveh? It's not Yoachin, it's not Sidkiyo, it's Gedaliah versus Sidkiyo. Radak, Pasik Lamed Aleph, Koyam Hashem Lokim, Hosir Misnevis, Vaharim Hatarah, Vahasir, Harim Vahasir, two words which are Mokar, the infinitive verb. Vahain Hagbea, Vahishpil, Kilomar, Osir Misnevis, Vahadim Ahatarah, Meal Rosh HaMelech. So far, Radak is just like the Mitsudos, both of these things are referring to the king. He's going to go into exile. Then he quotes, I told you both refer to the king. But you should be aware that the Targum learns we're dividing it between the Kahuna and the Malchus. So here, over here, the Radak is in shock at the Targum, why he mentions Siraya ki Yehot Sadok binohu shagol im Tzidkiyahu. It was Yehot Sadok bino, he was not the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol this time was Yehot Sadok, the son of Siraya. So why does he say that the Kohuna Gedoyla, Kohen Gadol, was his predecessor? So I guess it means simply, it's all one, the Goldbus of the father. You call the family, we call, give cover to the father. Now, Zeis Lai Zeis, what does this mean? Now here we have a new interpretation. This crown that is present today, Zos, this beautiful crown, represents the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, Lo Tia Zos. Kemo Shechoshev Tzidkiyosh, the sky Malchuso, Lo Tia Zos Ha'ataro Lo, Elo Lemi Shetia. It's not, this crown, Zos, is a modifier. It's referring back to the Mitznefes and the Atara. This that you're wearing on your head today, Lo Zos. It's not going to continue, but rather, who's going to get it? Hashvala Hagveya Yehoyachin Shagola Kvar Vayashafel Agbia Oisai. He will be elevated. He's going to get the crown. The crown that's to you now is going to go to him. He's Rubavel ben Benoy, his grandson. Hoyamelch Beshuv Megalus Nabaisheni Rubavel. The Gamu Begalusa Nasa Oisai Evel Meroidach. He also was elevated. He was given respect when Nebuchadnezzar died and his son Evel Meroidach took over. Evel Meroidach gave cover to Yehoyachin. He treated him with respect. Vayosem kiso gavoa. He raised up his throne. He gave him a pension, and he gave him respect and bavel. So he, the one that is currently right now in Golos, Yehoyachin, that is in a state of lowliness, he will be elevated. He will take your crown. Next words, vahagavoa hishpil tzikiyosho yigavoya v'nisgoe, became arrogant. Umorat b'melech bavel asher hishpil be'elokim, which adjured him by Hashem. Ashpil Oisoy, I'm going to humble him. Shaloye Oid Melch Mizar Shari Bene Tzuhyom, Shachat Melch Babel, enough, his children were killed. The Malchus Amda Miyayachin, and the Malchus came from Yehoyachin. Hashbolo, Hahei Boy Nosefes, the Hei over here, Hashafolo is extra, superfluous. Kiamila Mila El, since the Mila, the emphasis is on the Pei, not on the Lamed, Lukamo Hashafol. I'm sorry, they had the end. They had the end is extra. It could just say Hashafol Hagveya. And therefore, Kemoshama Bahagavoa Hashpil, the Od Ki Ilu Hoysel, the Kevah Hoyomer Hashfalo Hashin Beshva. If it really, we need the hay, if it's really a feminine word, if you want to indicate that it's feminine, and that's why we append the hay, then the vowel should not be a komatz, Hashafolo, but it should be Hashfalo. Period. Okay, then Yonasan brings down what we said before. Yonasan Tirgim, Vidain, Vidain, Beashre, Lo Yiskaya, Miglo Yigloin, Gedalia Barachikam, Dulah Havas Dila, like we said before in the Rashi. Gedalia, you don't have this in, right? You don't have this in your edition because it's in practice. Gedalia is going to take the place of Tzidkiya. Okay, so these are the basic Perushim. Now let me quote you some Amori Chazal. First, Amori Chazal is the famous Gemara that Bizman Hazeh, there is a halacha that a chosan is not allowed to wear a crown. Okay, so it used to be in ancient times, a chassan b'yom chupasa wore a crown. Okay, not a borsalino hat. He wore a crown.
Ateres chasanim.
Ateres chasanim. And bezman hazeh.
How do you know it wasn't Borsellino?
What?
How do you know it wasn't Borsellino?
How do you know it wasn't the Borsellino?
They weren't in Italy. They weren't in...
Today, how come hat says that they actually, it says on the hat, I know it's all the new hats, they say Borsellino. No, America also. It's a Makas Medina. Why do you want they make it, you have to show it's a Borsellino. Okay. So whatever it is, so it usually refers to the Atara is the Ateres Chasanim. It was a meaning that a Chasan wore a crown. And as a sign of Avelus, no longer wear a crown. Loser Pe'er, Loser Efer Tachas Pe'er. Instead of the Pe'er, the glory of the crown, instead we put ash in that area on the head, also connected to Tefillin. And that comes from this very Pasuk. In the Pasuk, Chasir HaMitznefes, at a time when the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol is not being worn, meaning that there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Beis, which the head of the Beis HaMikdash is the Kohen Gadol, when he is not active, then Horim HaAtara, Chasanim, take the Atara off your head. You have no right to celebrate this. There's no Simcha in Eshkechich Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. If you're not going to remember Yerushalayim, then forget your right hand. I'll forget my right hand. The same idea. Let me read you the words of the Gemara inside. The Gemara begins. The Gemara says as follows: Amar Leirish Lakish Rav Huna Kelila Menolon De Osur. How do you know that a Chassan is not allowed to wear a crown in our day and age? Amar Le Midrabanan. It doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say this anyway. This was made up by the Chachamim. The Tanan, how do I know this? The Pulmos Shel Aspasianus, at the time when the army of Aspasianus besieged Yerushalayim, Gazu, they made a gzera alat atros chasanim v'alcho erus. Two takonis. Number one, a chasan may not wear a crown. Number two, you're not allowed to have musical instruments in Yerushalayim. And that still stands today. Okay, Bizman Azeh,
in drums.
What?
They allow drums.
They allow drums, but in the old city it is Osir. Very big cherim to have musical instruments, to play musical instruments at a wedding. A concert, you can't have a concert, I believe, right?
Music
by wedding, only by a wedding. Only by a wedding is a unique category, it is Osir. Shaila is, what about outside the old city? Outside, what about in the larger Yerushalayim? So this is a big machlekes hapeskim. Some do and some don't. Most people don't, but there are plenty of people that do it as well. So that's why most weddings, where they want to have music, they have it outside of Yerushalayim, mamish outside now Yerushalayim. And those who want to bedafka get married in Yerushalayim, so they have a drummer. Or they have some very talented people who can mimic, like today was a cappella, they would be able to mimic musical. It's just my brother got married in Yerushalayim, and he had a drummer and a singer. And I'm telling you, you can't even tell the difference, because the singer was...
Between the drummer and the singer?
Well, especially today, when you go to a wedding over here in Brooklyn, or in Williamsburg, is Brooklyn, obviously, I don't know, the music today doesn't sound like music anymore. It's just noise, right? It's just noise. What happened to music? I don't know where the music went. So this was a takana that came at the time Aspasianus.
The
Aspasianus, they asked wearing the crown and they prohibited music. Now the Gemara is a question. What's the mitznefes eitzel tara? So the Gemara makes a drasha. I'm sorry. The Gemara goes further. Again, they said this halacha was only a takan de rabbanan. In the meantime, Rav Huna, he went to the Beis Akise. And when he went to the Beis Akise, they said about the Rebbe got it wrong. The Rebbe, it's a drasha. It's an asmachta. It's a pasuk. This pasuk. Amal Rav Chista, kroksif. This pasuk we just read, Koyam Mar Hashem Elokim, Hasir Hamitznefes, Fahadim O'atara, Zos Lozos, Hash Polo Hagvea, Vagovoa Hashpil, Lechima Igin Mitznefes, Eitzel Atara. What did they two do next to each other? Elo Loim Lucha, Bizman, Shemitznefes, Bereish Koin Godol, Atara, Bereish Kolodom, Nistalka Mitznefes, Bereish Koin Godol. If the Koin Godol is not active, then Nistalka Atara, Bereish Kolodom. Fine. That is. The Gemara goes on. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on. So what about a girl? What about a kala? Is a kal allowed to wear a crown? Yes. The Gemara says, Ravina Ashkechei Lamabar Ravashi to have a godil kelila librate. He was braiding a crown for his daughter for his daughter's wedding. So Amale Leisava Lamar Hosir Hamitznefes Bahadim Atara Amale. So he told him that only applies to men. Ha Isra Hudafka Bedumio de Koyin Godel Begavre, only for men. Avol Benoshelo. Okay, so that's the Gemara's conclusion. Women are allowed to wear the Yushalayim Shel Zahav. Yushalayim Shel Zahav was a crown that was worn by a woman by women at their wedding. Okay, Yushalayim Shel Zahav, Rabbi Akiva said, he's going to make for his wife, and Yushalayim Shel Zahav, because she supported me in my Limud HaTorah. Rabbi Meir's wife was jealous. She was jealous of Rabbi Akiva's wife, and she had this beautiful this crown, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, and she said to her husband, Rabbi Meir, how come you don't make for me a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? And he said, if you would be Moisa Nefesh for me, for my Torah, the same way Rabbi Akiva's wife is Moisa Nefesh for him, then I'll make for you, but you don't come to her Madrega. That's basically what the Gemara says. That's the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav.
On the couch.
Okay, so this is, then the Gemara goes further. Now we have another interpretation. What does it mean? Zos lo zos. So we were in the Mitsudo. Zos means, we had two interpretations. The Mitsudo says that zos, just to review, the zos is the good things that happen to Yehoyachin and Yehoyakim are not going to happen to you, Tzidkiyo. At least Yehoyakim and Yehoyachin left over children. You can leave over nothing. And the other interpretation of the Radak is Zos, the crown that you have on yourself, Lo Zos is not going to remain. But according to the Gemara says, the one that says Zos are the Malachi Hasharis. And they challenge Hashem. They say, Hashem, what have you just said? You told Tzidkiyahu to take off his crown. You told him to Kohen Gadol take off the Mitznefes. Zos? Is this how you treat Klal Yisrael? Who are makabel the zois haTorah asher saw Moshe lefnei bnei Yisrael? Klal Yisrael are makabel the Torah nasev v'nishma zos. Hashem says back, lo zos. I shouldn't do this. Look what the sin that they did to me. And the pasuk goes further. They made what is lowly they exalted, and what is exalted they made low. What's lowly? An idol, a tzelem. The tzelem, what's hashvala hagveya, they put in the kodesh hakadoshim, and me v'hagavoa hakadosh baruch hu was the most exalted hashpil. They threw out of the Beis Hamikdash. They despise me. So you don't think lo zos? You don't think what I'm doing to them? They deserve. They certainly deserve what they get. So let me read the words of the Gemara. B'sha my zos v'lo zos dorash raviyim zimnin amal mishmed rabbi amim zimnin amal mishmed rabbi asi b'sha shamad kodesh baruch hu milishol chaser hametz neves sarim atara. Amru Malachi Hashoreis Lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu Ribbono Shel Olam Zos Lohen Li Yisrael Shekdimu Lefanecha B'Sinai Nase L'Nishma. Amar Lohen, Hashem says, Loi Zos, I shouldn't do this. Lohen Li Yisrael Shehishpilu Es HaGovoa V'Igbiu Es HaShofol V'Emidu Tzelem Beheichol. They're corrupt. They have their priorities out of order. They make that with Zor Chosh and they make law. Okay, so this is the beautiful Gemara. Now, before we go further, there is an amazing Malbim. I don't know when we're doing the Malbim, but somehow Siat HaShemai was able to come across this Malbim. Let's, in fact, try to read it together. Okay, it's really amazing. Zos Velozos, you have it in the Biur He'inyin Mare Yecheska LeHamalbim. I believe you have that in your edition,
yes.
Correct? So it's in the Mare Yecheska in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Skip down to where it says Zos Lo Zos. Is there a Divan Asa? I don't know how it looks like in your edition.
Yeah.
Okay, zos lo zos. Return to Lima. Ata roitze shiye zos v'lo ye zos. So this is what he learned in Shantpas. You, Tzidkiyahu, what are your plans? Mm-hmm. Your plans are there should be one and not the other. What does that mean? You want to do away with the kahuna. You want that, why should there be two branches of power in Klal Yisrael? There should be only one branch of power in Klal Yisrael. Okay, you want it to be a dictatorship. Zos v'lo zos, return to Lema, she'tiskayim ho'atara, you want, there should only be the atara, the crown of the melech. He's learning that the mitznefes is the kuhuna g'doyla, and the atara is the melech. You want, there should be atara v'lo yiskayim ha-mitznefes. In other words, and he explains, Hashpalo Hagbeya, Atarotzila Hagbia Eswatara. Now, this is an amazing insight. Which one of the two is more choshev? Malchus or Kahuna Gedoyla? Okay, when you go to Sima Shas, who sits in the middle? Okay, who sits in the most choshev seat? Okay, you only can be one person in the middle. Who sits in the middle? Who sits on the side? Does the Melech or does the Kohen Gadol? Who's more choshev? I always have a debate with someone about this. Rais, all of us, Rais, back and forth. Who of the two is more choshev? The Melech or the Kohen Gadol? Pash is the Melech. Okay, Melech is on the other hand, but the Melech is but the Kohen Gadol. He goes the Fnai v'Lefnim. He's the spiritual. So it's both, right? It's both. The Malbim here learn Shan the Pasuk in the most amazing way, is that the Kohen Gadol is really the more choshev of the two. He's Yoshev Roish, and the Melech is number two in command. And the chait of Tzidkio was he was trying to reverse the roles. The Siyam Hashas was coming up, and they were having a seating plan, and he wanted to be, that's Yoshev Roish. And the Kohen Gadol should be the one that's going to be number two. He wanted it to be the Hashfalo Hagbeyav HaGavoa Hashfel. Hashfalo means the one that really is low, the Melech, who's second in command. He wanted to elevate him to be number one in command. And what is HaGavoa, what is really belong to be number one, the Kohen Gadol, he should be lowered.
The one that could sit in the Beis HaMikdash was the Melech.
That's in the Beis HaMikdash. You can sit, but on the other hand, the only one that goes lefnai v'lefnim, that goes lefnai v'lefnim on Yom HaKippurim is the Kohen Gadol.
But he still has to stand.
Okay, but he still goes lefnai v'lefnim where no man has gone before. Okay, only he goes there. But when it comes outside the Beis HaMikdash and it comes to giving honor, okay, it comes to giving honor, people, who do you give? Someone has to go first, right? In the motorcade, who's going to go first? Whose motorcade goes first? Is the Melech or the Kohen Gadol? It's a real serious matter. Whose motorcade goes first? So it says over here that according to the Malbim, it is davar poshut ad me'od that the Kohen Gadol goes first. And even though the Melech, by the way, has a Sefer Torah wrapped around his hand, right? You would say, oh, you can go first, you're carrying a Sefer, right? You're carrying a Sefer, the Kohen Gadol will say to the Melech, you go first, you're carrying a Sefer. No, it doesn't matter, the Kohen Gadol goes first. Tzidkio wanted to reverse this. And the way he's going to reverse this is, you, the Kohen Gadol, take off your crown. Take off your mitznefes, it's symbolic, and I'm going to wear the crown. And you're not going to wear the mitznefes, so there should be no confusion. This is a very grave sin. It's a very grave sin to deny the kavod to the Kohen Gadol taking away and giving it to the Melech. It's incredible. What is this? You want to take the crown, which is lower by Madrega. Look what he says here. And to lower the mitzvah, because the Kohuna Gedolah, that's the Kvod Hashem. You're trying to do this? That's a very grave sin, and for this you're going to suffer. It's very interesting is that this is very true today, at least in shuls, and if you want a really good in politics in Eretz Yisrael, you have the office of the prime minister. I'm not talking about any particular prime minister. I'm talking about the office of the prime minister, and you have the way it's set up. Baruch Hashem, it's a religious country to some degree. You have the rabbanut, and then you have issues where there's a conflict. So, who has the ultimate authority? The office of the Prime Minister. That's the way it is. And it can very well be that in Klal Yisrael, it could very well be, I'm suggesting,
Court.
What?
Or the Supreme
Court. The Supreme Court in Echanam. Okay, but let's assume it's not the Rabbanut. And let's make believe that even the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there does hat the Meir hat the Deya. The one who's in the Malchus is really the one that can implement any halacha. They're the ones who really have the ultimate power to decide yes, no, asur, mutter, kosher, treif. They're the ones who really have the power because they're the ones who have. They can enforce it. Exactly. They can enforce the halacha. Will they? But they have an assayin. They have an assayin though. The Rabbanut. The religious branch of the country, the Kohen Gadol, says it's usher. You have to close it down at Shabbos. You have to go do. We can't do. We don't have the power to shut down, to find it, imprison people to enforce it. You have the power. But we're telling you what the halacha is. Will the Malchus respect the authority, will have a respect the authority of the branch of the Kohuna, the Kohen Gadol? And that Nisayin is, you know, today in the Medina as well. Will the office of the Prime Minister respect the decisions of the rabbinic leadership of Klal Yisrael in matters that are very, very complicated? Every little shul, you talk about any little teeny shul, usually the smaller shul, the more politics there are, is you have a Rav and you have a president. There's a chairman of the board. There's a board. The one who pays the salary, the one who has the ultimate authority to hire and to fire the rabbi, is the chairman, is the board of trustees, is the president. He's the one who signs the checks. But the rabbi makes decisions which the board of the trust are not happy with. There's always this battle, and al pi hashkafa, there's a hashkafa in Klal Yisrael to respect the mitznefes. And when the board of trustees, when you have a matzav where the atara, the one who wears the atara, flexes their muscles and says to the one who wears the mitznefes, you take off your mitznefes. The hagavoa hashpel and the hashafel hagveya, that's the beginning of the end. That is always the beginning of the end for a shul. That's the beginning of the end for any type of situation. Hashem made the world very complex. He gave the power to the one who's not really in charge. He gave the power to the melech. But he's not really in charge. The one that's really in charge is the Kohen Gadol. But he has no power. The Nisayon is, will the Malchus recognize, will respect the power? This is exactly the way the Malbim learns Pshat in the Pasuk. Both your Hosir HaMitznefes V'Hodim HaAtara, both are coming off now. Why are they both coming off now? Why is the end? Because Zos Lozos, because you wanted that there should only be an Atara, Zos, and Lozos, there should not be a Mitznefes. You know why everything in the world is coming to an end? Is because you want to have one without the other. And to collaborate, he learned Shana Pas, because you wanted to be Hashpalo Hagveya, you wanted to give Machashivas to what is low to the Atara, the Hagavoa and the Mitznefes, which really is Gavoa, you wanted Hashpil. That is why now everything will come to an end. There will be nothing. You're going to lose. Your power will be lost as well. Novel interpretation of this pasuk, which is very relative, very very relative to today's day and age, where we always have this division between these two different authorities. Okay, we'll stop here. Pasuk Lamed Beis.